This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. Tomorrow, a good many of you listening right now will be gathered with family and or friends to celebrate Thanksgiving. And you can play this a couple of ways. You can dread the interactions that are guaranteed to unfold, the discussions with the relatives who are on the other side of the political divide, the nagging uncle who wants to know if you're married yet or who compares you to their overachieving son or daughter. Or you can be grateful. You know, actually look at all the wonderful people in your life. The fact that you have a job you enjoy, even if it isn't paying you six figures. You can be thankful for the fact that you get to live in a place of caring individuals and that you get to see your family as often as you'd like, despite the minor annoyances. And you can be grateful that you have food. We're going to spend the entire hour today being grateful, understanding it, learning how to do it, finding out where to read about it, and hearing about how it might actually be good for your health. Navigating us on the happy path to a grateful existence are Amy Howlett, the director of the Springfield Town Library, Dr. Robert McCauley, medical director of clinical ethics and a palliative medicine physician at the University of Vermont Medical Center, and Bo Skurich, a Muslim chaplain at Middlebury College. And I can say with all sincerity that I am grateful that you have all joined us today. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I want to read this first. Tony posted this. I always like the word grateful. It's simple and elegant at the same time and expresses something deeper than a thank you. For me, I run a small food shelf in a small town, and I'm so grateful for the people who support it with monetary donations of even $5. I have some anonymous angels who send $100 faithfully on the first of the month who want no thank you cards or public recognition. There are many behind-the-scenes angels, and I'm grateful that they have come into my world. Dr. McCauley, what is the difference between simple appreciation and what you'd term gratitude or gratefulness?
Well, I think that's a great question. I usually think of appreciation as a bit of a transactional feeling, to say I appreciate the fact that this happened to me or that I had the benefit of something. Whereas gratitude, I think, includes a sense of wonder and also of humility to say that it might not have been so. And so some people have said that the opposite of gratitude isn't ingratitude, it's entitlement, to say that I deserve that or I must have that or without that I wouldn't be okay. And gratitude sort of flips that around to say that that has added something to my life and something that I might not have otherwise had, potentially not deserved. And if we look around us on a day like this, I'm sure all of us can find some things that we wish were better, but gratitude is about noting all the things, oftentimes the things we might overlook, that without them we wouldn't be nearly as happy or nearly as blessed.
Well, I'm going to put you all on the spot right away and ask what you're grateful for. Amy, you're first.
Oh, thank you. Exciting new job and great kids. I mean, for so many of us, I think it's the next generation that makes us happy.
Bo, how about you?
I feel grateful so much right now. I have a loving family, a loving community, and you know, in times of challenge that's been going on as of late, I haven't seen the community be as supportive and as loving as I've seen in the last, you know, couple of weeks. So it's been wonderful in that regard.
And Robert?
I would point to my kids. I have four wonderful kids, and they're healthy, and they're spirited, and they help me learn new things every day.
Well, we asked our colleagues here at VPR to share some of what they're grateful for, and I'll be reading these throughout the hour. Emily says, I'm grateful that my dad made it out of Afghanistan this week unharmed. I'm grateful for my new little sister and all the beautiful next generation public radio listeners that are newly here or on the way. Annalise says, I'm so grateful for family and to live in such an amazingly beautiful place. And Joe says, I'm grateful for my dogs. They always greet me warmly. I get mobbed when I come home every day. Listeners, this discussion is all about being grateful and how to express it and how it benefits you. We want to know what it is that you're grateful for on this eve of Thanksgiving Day. You can give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Okay, so Amy, I'm going to be checking in with you throughout the program for literary suggestions on the subject of gratitude. So can you start us with one?
Sure. I'm going to start with that word that I've already heard a couple of times now. The word is wonder, and the book is R.J. Palacio's book, Wonder, about a boy who has Treacher-Collins syndrome. This a book for the elementary ages actually has spawned a movement, Choose Kind. So when given a choice between doing what is right and doing what is kind, choose to be kind.
Mm. Wow. And I think that was on the Dorothy Canfield Fisher list for...
Nice catch, Rick.
Right?
Yes,
so that was
absolutely.
Yeah, it was a great book. Okay, so people right now are thinking, yeah, I'm grateful. But what do I do with that? So, Bo, you know, what do you suggest people do with these thoughts of gratitude?
Well, I would say that a beautiful attribute of gratitude is that it's always available, moment by moment. So I'd say if someone is feeling thoughts of gratitude, then that in itself is to be something to be grateful for. And if they, you know, if we have our moments where we forget, which we all do, then it's wonderful that we can always return back to it.
Robert, what do you think people should do with these thoughts of gratitude?
Well, I think there are some concrete things that people can do. Maybe at the end of each day, think about three things that they're specifically grateful for. Some people have suggested having a gratitude journal where you keep track of those things and look back on them over time. So I think that the important take-home message is that gratitude isn't a passive thing. Some people it comes naturally to, but for the rest of us, there are active steps that we can take in order to cultivate it.
For those who aren't feeling grateful, I want to know how they should cultivate feelings of gratitude. I mean, can you force yourself to be grateful for something, or should you? Amy, what do you think?
I don't like to go there. It sets up resistance in my own mind. I want to be willing and accepting, mm-hmm. and find the way in. When I started thinking about this concept, I thought mostly about things that really keep me in the moment. So loving children, or the joy that you see with a dog, or reveling in nature. And that seems to me to lead to a willingness to accept and to find what we can be grateful for.
Well, for those who aren't grateful or just don't think of gratitude and the things they're grateful for, how do you think they should cultivate these feelings?
I see it as sort of a combination of balancing two principles of being real and then also a deeper inquiry into one's life. So I don't like the idea of forcing gratitude if someone really isn't feeling. I think people need to be real with what they're feeling. And at the same time, that can be balanced with also exploring what they do have to be grateful for. And I think anyone who spends time really reflecting deeply upon their life will unquestionably find limitless things to be grateful for in their life, no matter what situation they find themselves in.
I'm going to read a few more of our emails from our VPR colleagues. Jane Lindholm, who's usually here, says, I'm grateful for stellar colleagues. Thank you, Jane. Amy says she's grateful for studded snow tires. All of Vermont understands that. And Robert says, I'm grateful that my program has lasted 20 years on VPR and that some of my listeners have been listening since the very beginning. That's Robert Resnick and All the Traditions, and we're grateful to have that program. Let's turn to some of our callers. We've got Donna calling from Barrie. Donna, thanks for calling today.
Well, you're welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. So tell us what you're grateful for.
I'm terribly grateful this year. A year ago, December 7th, my son was crushed by 25 tons of granite and was in a coma for almost a month. He has two children. He made it. He's alive. He'll be at our table. And for me, gratitude is an action. And I spend time down at Project Independence, and I'm just terribly grateful that my son and his family will be at my table this year.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, please give him a hug for all of us if it doesn't hurt too much. How is he fully recovered, or where is he now, Donna? Oh, my goodness. What a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Don's calling from Mount Holly. How you doing, Don?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for allowing me to call in. I use the word gratitude as often as I can with folks that I work with. But I suppose in a thumbnail, 21 years ago, I got my first cancer diagnosis. I am a 21-year cancer survivor, which enables me to volunteer at the same hospital where I am currently also a cancer patient. And I'm just so grateful to be able to do that. The feelings are impossible, really, to even describe to you. But one of your previous callers asked the question, how do I express it?
Mm-hmm.
I express my gratitude by volunteering where I can make a difference, and the rewards are enormous. That's where I'm at, and thank you for taking my comment.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Don. Two really inspirational calls we've heard. So, Dr. McCauley, I'm thinking about this. There are millions of things I wish I had. But I have probably at least 100,000 things in my possession, from tangible to the intangible. A lot of the tangible are books, vinyl, CDs. But how do I learn to be grateful for what I already have rather than desire what I don't have?
Well, I think most spiritual and religious traditions have been struggling with that question for the last few thousand years. So I think it's a great question to ask. And I agree with everything that the other panelists have said, that we can't really force ourselves kicking and screaming to become grateful for something. But I think we can refocus our attention and be aware of the present moment and what sustains us in the present moment. It doesn't mean that there aren't sources of unhappiness and lack of contentment, but I think that there are things out there that oftentimes we gloss over and overlook. And if we take a moment of intention to focus on those, then I think gratitude, at least for those things, will emerge. And from that, I think it can really change our outlook on the other parts of our lives.
Bo Skirch, doesn't that aspiration for what I don't possess really serve as motivation for me to get out of bed each day, to come do my job, to earn, to buy?
I suppose it can be. It certainly can be. Obviously, that's another important component is for us to be active. But at the same time, I think behind that, it's good for us to examine our intentions and why we are striving to gain more. Is it out of a sense of some sort of loss or something deeply missing in our lives, or is it so that we can receive more blessing, that we can then give it to others, so we can have like a greater sense of fulfillment through giving. So I think it's helpful to really deeply examine where one is coming from and how they're striving for worldly possessions. They're not bad in and of themselves in any way. I would never say that. But I think it's good for us to be really clear with our intentions of why we pursue what we do.
And you're at Middlebury College. You work with the students probably very closely there. So, is this something that you discuss with them or they come to you to talk about?
It's a popular sermon topic that I like to give. Gratitude is one of my favorite of topics. I think the cultivation of gratitude in one's daily life takes care of so many other problems in people's lives. If they're able to make that habit of continually turning towards gratitude, it's life-changing. So it's something that I do try to, again, be real with my students with where they are and where there's an opportunity to open up the opportunity for gratitude in that moment and for something to be cultivated and built with it.
Amy, now would be a great time to pull another book of gratitude off the shelf for us. What do you got?
Well, we're all going to be eating tomorrow, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be eating today. What am I saying? But eating might have a special focus tomorrow. So I'm looking at Before We Eat, From Farm to Table, Pat Brisson and our own wonderful Mary Azarian. So this is a book that looks at how food comes into our lives. It's a picture book written for the very young, and we're reminded that somebody picked that apple, and a trucker had to get it to the store so that we could buy it, or our neighbors had to tap the trees so that we could have maple syrup. And those people made this meal possible. I love that Mary Azarian knows Vermont and that her woodcuts are blunt and faithful to the spirit. So one of them, for example, has a young farmer in the fields wearing an Eat More Kale t-shirt. I mean, we know that guy.
That's right. Well, we do have a lot of great artists in the state like Mary Azarian that we can be grateful for. And, you know, every time I make a meal that all the ingredients have come from the farmer's market or from some Vermont farmer, I am really grateful. I think, oh, my gosh, I'm so happy that I live in this place where all that is so close by. We've got Marielle calling from Johnson. Let's hear what she has to say. Hi, Marielle. How you doing?
Hi, I'm lovely. How are you?
Fabulous. Go ahead.
I would love to express my gratitude for all of the farmers across Vermont and for the opportunity to support my neighbors. A special gratitude-filled shout-out to Bruce and Beth of Maple Wind Farm, who just hooked me up with a last-minute farm raised turkey. I'm just so thankful to be here and to be able to make these choices, even if it's, you know, a little bit more planning and it might take visiting a couple farms or stores. And it's really an honor to be able to eat food grown right where we are and really experience nourishment. And I'd also love to put it out there that I am so grateful for the water protectors out at Standing Rock right now, protecting the sacred waters that we can often overlook being in the Northeast. You know, we're blessed with this abundant rainfall or snowfall nowadays. So I'd like to take a moment and maybe we could all take a moment tomorrow to think about the water protectors out there standing up for the sacred waters.
That's great. Thank you so much for calling, Marielle. We're talking about gratitude today on the cusp of the day when we eat heartily, but also express how grateful we are all for what we have. So coming up, we'll discuss how gratitude can affect personal relationships, even our health. We want to know, though, from you what you're grateful for. You can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can send an email to vermontedition@vpr.net. I'm Rick Zingari, and this is Vermont Edition. A friend of mine just took a personality test that scored you on 24 personality attributes. I'm not making this up. Number one for her was gratitude, for which she was not grateful. But if she listens closely today to this discussion, maybe she'll be a lot more happy with the results because we're learning about the health benefits of gratitude and how it can have a positive effect on your community. Joining us today to discuss gratitude are the triumvirate of Bo Skurich, a Muslim chaplain at Middlebury College, Amy Howlett, the director of the Springfield Town Library, and Dr. Robert McCauley, medical director of clinical ethics and a palliative medicine physician at UVM Medical Center. We'd love to hear from you, what you're grateful for right now in your life. You can share it by calling 1-800-639-2211, or you can post on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. I've been reading from some of the VPR staff who emailed what they're grateful for. Mitch Wortlieb says he's grateful, among many other things, that my dog Grendel, despite being an oldster now at 12 years old, still loves to go out and do daily walks and hikes with me in the woods of Vermont. And Mary says she got suggestions from her kiddos. Chloe says she's grateful for family, friends, and potatoes. And Dareth says, I'm grateful for animals to be alive and for plants so we can live and eat. So, Bo, with Mary's kids chiming in, I want to know, how do we instill gratitude in our children? How do we teach them to be grateful?
I think one thing is gratitude, I think, as any other quality, it's something that's cultivated. It's something that's built over time. It doesn't happen in one moment. So the more that we draw attention to it, the more it becomes habitual for us. So that's one way I believe that we can instill in young people that quality, is just bringing it more, as we're doing right now, into one's consciousness, that they become more aware. I think a second area would be to expand someone's global perspective. You know, I've marveled that when I've had the opportunity to live in a few different, three or four continents, and I'm always struck by people who have, it seems like, literally nothing, and yet so many who I saw with just an incredible sense of gratitude that they feel like they have everything. They're smiling, they're happy with what they have. So expanding the global perspective for young people to realize what we have. I look in my house, it's not an abnormally large house, but compared to the rest of the world, it's a palace. So I think expanding people's minds to that reality and then building or helping them cultivate that quality of gratitude in their daily lives.
Amy Hallett, how about you? What do you think about how we can instill this in children?
I think we need to look at what our child responds to. So we do live in a beautiful state. For many of us, a walk outside next to a stream or along a field or up a dirt road. And I know many families on Thanksgiving make those walks a part of that day, gives you opportunities to say, look at that bird. Or, you know, put your hand in the water, feel how cold it is. And I think there's a joy in that experience that transmits very easily to children. So that idea that Bo just gave us of setting an example and giving children the opportunity to follow in our footsteps.
Robert McCauley, you're a big proponent of the health benefits of gratitude. So convince me of that. That there really are health benefits to being grateful.
Well, there are actually a great deal of empirical studies that are coming out now on gratitude, on terms of its effect on overall well-being. But in terms of physiologic health benefits, there are studies showing that it improves sleep in terms of getting to sleep faster, staying asleep, quality of sleep. It can also have benefits in terms of lowering high blood pressure, in terms of heart rate variability. So I think that as we move beyond sort of a dualistic understanding of the body as one thing and the mind as another and really come to understand the interrelationship between one's psychic well-being and one's bodily well-being, there are very profound benefits of gratitude. And I think that that might be an invitation to people who might otherwise minimize how important gratitude is to say, well, maybe I should try this because it does have health benefits, and the beauty of it, in contrast to a lot of medications we use, is it doesn't have any negative side effects.
If I'm a grateful person, then can I stop worrying about regular doctor visits, for which I would be grateful?
I don't know if I'd take it quite that far, but you might have to take fewer medications and might have to worry a little bit less about some things that your doctor would say, hey, you got to pay attention to this because you might have taken care of some of that on your own.
Bo, do you notice that people who are more grateful experience less stress and anxiety and low morale?
Certainly. I think without question, I don't know the I don't have a background in empirical studies. That's not an area that I have an expertise in, but just from my own experience, people who are grateful, you can see it on their face. Right? When we look at people who are cultivating gratitude on a daily basis, you can see that they have a bit of a glow, that there's not as much anxiety. So I feel like I see it as much as I look for it.
Well, we've certainly resonated with the listeners today because we have a lot waiting to talk about what they're grateful for. So let's start with Judy in Norwich. Judy, thanks for calling.
Hi. I have actually a quote about gratitude. It's my favorite quote. And I think I remember as a child, to me, gratitude and thankfulness were an obligation, a duty, something you were supposed to do. And so I resented that. This quote, on the other hand, shows how gratitude makes you not just healthier, but more sane and a better person. So here's the quote. It's by someone named Sam Kean, K-E-A-N, and you can Google it. Gratitude. The more you become a connoisseur of gratitude, the less you are a victim of resentment, depression, and despair. Mm-hmm. Gratitude will act as an elixir that will gradually dissolve the hard shell of your ego, your need to possess and control, and transform you into a generous being. The sense of gratitude produces pure spiritual alchemy, makes us magnanimous, large-souled.
Wow, so, that's fantastic.
You like that?
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that, Judy. Megan wrote in with a quote as well. She loves this one. It's from Rumi: wear gratitude like a cloak, and it will feed every corner of your life. And I'd like to share one that I love from the Dalai Lama. When you practice gratefulness, there is a sense of respect towards others. So, Robert, how does being grateful impact our happiness?
I think it impacts happiness in a variety of ways. It positively impacts positive emotions in the sense of emotions such as empathy, positive outlook on life. It cultivates those, and it also has a negative feedback against negative emotions like resentment, bitterness, regret, envy. So I think that what it essentially does is it accentuates the positive and puts the negative in some sort of context. And I say that with a little bit of hesitation because I don't want it to be seen as a panacea. There are people who struggle with very profound things when it comes to the people they love or their own health or their own state in life. So it's not as if we should tell everybody to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and everything will be rosy. But at the same time, I think that everyone can find something in their life to be grateful for, and by focusing at least for a little while on that, it can potentially change their outlook on their life overall and potentially give them hope in even the darkest of times.
Bo, does our level of gratitude impact our close personal relationships?
I think it certainly does, and it can have a profound effect. I mean, I think of gratitude as not just being thankful for what one is being given, but also cherishing each moment that we're given. And so therefore, when I think about Thanksgiving that I'll be having with family tomorrow, that sense of preciousness in that moment by having that gathering, just by feeling that, I think enriches our relationships with our family and our loved ones.
Oh, that's very timely. Amy, more literature for the soul, please.
You mentioned the Dalai Lama, and there's a wonderful new book out, The Book of Joy. The Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu spent a week together, and the book came out of that, those conversations and that contact. And I think of the years and years and years of Desmond Tutu spending in prison, you know, trapped away from his family, full of anger, and to know that one could come through that and get to joy at the other end. Mm. What a remarkable idea. And the Dalai Lama as well, coming from so many challenges in that part of the world. But you look at those faces, the faces of two old men who have made the journey to a kind of peace and understanding and delight.
Wow.
So that's The Book of Joy, and it's in libraries now. It's brand new. Great gift for the holidays if you're looking for that. But I haven't read it. I'll have to be honest with you, Rick. But the people I know that are reading it are loving the conversation.
Well, I have read the Dalai Lama's The Art of Happiness, which I love so much. So I can recommend that as well. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Lorraine, who's calling us from St. Johnsbury. Hi there, Lorraine.
Hello. I'm grateful for all the most beautiful, inspiring music, in particular. I want to thank Robert and Ruben. I have a date every Friday night with Ruben. And in particular right now, I'm thinking about Leonard Cohen and all his beautiful, inspiring music and the agony and ecstasy of creating that and how he shared that with us.
Wow, that's so great.
And all I can say is hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, Lorraine, thanks for gracing us with that. Let's talk to Jonathan, who's calling from Winooski. How are you, Jonathan?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I called just to say I'm grateful for the Lord. The Lord is always looking out for me, always there for me, always has his hand on my back. push me along. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. So, Bo, you are a Muslim chaplain at Middlebury College. I apologize. And, Robert, you are also a pastor in the Episcopalian Church. So does gratefulness tie directly to religion? I mean, does someone have to be religious or spiritual to have these feelings of gratitude? But we'll start with you.
I don't think it's absolutely necessary that someone come from a particular religious tradition. I think religious traditions can serve as reminders for people. And that's found within, I think, all religious traditions, that it's drawing attention back to these core spiritual principles that can enrich our lives. So I don't think of it as being incumbent or absolutely necessary for people to be from a particular background, but that gratitude is a state of the heart. Mm-hmm. And so if in one's daily life one is conscious of that, then they've been blessed with that quality.
Robert, is gratitude kind of a staple of all the world's religions?
I think it is. So it is a part of the world's religions, but I agree with Bo that it isn't intrinsic to religiosity, that I don't think you have to be religious to be grateful. I think you do need to be humble to be grateful, because I think what gratitude really is a recognition that something outside yourself has blessed you, and that could be another person, that could be a sense of spirituality that doesn't have a specific religious bent. But I think it is inherently a sense of connectedness to say that I wouldn't be who I am or where I am if it weren't for something beyond myself, whether that's my family or my friends or God or acquaintances. And I think that that sense of interconnectedness is one of the most profound parts of gratitude.
We're discussing gratitude today. Coming up, more thoughts on how to express your gratitude and more thoughts on books that highlight this virtue. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm, and I'm joined by a panel of three very grateful individuals. Dr. Robert McCauley is Medical Director of Clinical Ethics and a palliative medicine physician at the University of Vermont Medical Center. He might be the most grateful today because he joins us from somewhere in Florida. Bo Skurich is a Muslim chaplain at Middlebury College, and Amy Howlett, the director of the Springfield Town Library, is in our Norwich studio, which is in very close proximity to baked goods at King Arthur Flowers Baker's Store. So maybe she's the most thankful of the three of us, or the four of us right now.
I think that's true, Rick. They pressed a scone on me when I came into King Arthur, made me take one and eat it.
There we go. Well, Amy, let's have some more literature that discusses gratitude.
Okay, let's go to Mary Oliver, a poet. I'm not a big reader of poetry, but boy, she gets to me. So one of the poems I love in Dog Songs, which are poems that Mary Oliver wrote about many of the dogs in her life, talks about a dog. You go galloping down the sand to the nearest dead fish with which you perfume your sweet neck. It is summer. How many summers does a little dog have? I love that. She's also written a new book. Dog Songs has been out for a few years, but her new book is Upstream, which I understand is essays. And I know the topic is also gratitude. Mm.
Bo and Robert, do either of you have book suggestions that you'd like to share about gratitude? You can say no. Because I'm putting you on the spot. Just wanted to make sure, because I've given Amy, you know, the entire run of the library today. So, well, I do want to read this VPR email. Gail says she's grateful for community, my neighbors, and the people with whom I share this amazing state. So can we have some examples of how gratitude can help a community? Bo, I'll start with you.
I think we're seeing at this time that communities are having more struggle. It's a time of deep uncertainty. And it's a time that if we can cultivate gratitude within ourselves, within communities, and with other communities, then we can break down some of the divisions that we're seeing. The local Episcopal Church here in Middlebury invited me to give a sermon two Sundays ago, post-election, at the Episcopal Church. And it was just a wonderful moment of coming together. Actually had an invite for my wife and I to one of the congregants' homes for Thanksgiving tomorrow. So it felt very precious to me. So I think by reaching out to each other, you know, across lines and on these core principles that we care about, then we can break down some of the barriers in our communities, and we can see healthier, more unified, and more whole communities.
Robert, how does gratitude help a community?
Well, I think gratitude helps reframe things that we might not be too happy about and gets to the underpinnings that allow us to see things in a different light. So I know that for many people, the election that just happened, as Bill mentioned, has been difficult for those who were not in favor of Trump being elected president. And the bottom line is our democracy worked, and we live in a free country where we can express ourselves and continue to express ourselves. So in talking to friends, I think that that can be something that we can reframe a little bit and be grateful for what allowed this to happen. And if I could circle back, Rick, I did have a thought about a book. One of my favorites going along the idea of poetry is Jane Kenyon, who is a poet who died some years ago, wrote a wonderful collection of poetry called Otherwise. It's sort of her primary collection. And the title poem is called Otherwise, and basically it talks about how we go through life and each day we eat meals and we see people we care about and we read books. And she keeps coming back to the idea that one day it will be otherwise, which I think is inherently grateful to say that these things that I might not otherwise pay attention to, one day I will not have them. And so today I'm going to pay attention and be mindful of them and be grateful for them.
Wow, that's beautiful. Otherwise, Jane Kenyon. Love that. Thanks for that suggestion. Let's take some more calls, and we will go to Royalton and talk to John. How are you today, John?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we're talking about religion, but my gratitude is that I'm secular and not religious. I'm very grateful for the fact that I got as lucky enough to get as far as I got, given that I was extremely, extremely poor. And just luck and circumstance, I really am grateful to, and genes that are inherent to me. And I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Great. Thanks so much for calling, John. Let's talk to Stephen in Stratford. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having the show. What I wanted to say was that my belief is that the all that is all there is, and the all that is flows through and is all things. So all things are the all that is. So I feel like I'm related to everything. Mm. So gratitude is really easy when you're related to everything, and it makes you feel wonderful.
Wow. That's a great point. Thank you so much, Stephen. Well, you know, Stephen says gratitude is easy when you relate it to everything, but there are times where being grateful is not easy, when we're experiencing some great adversity. So how do we show that gratitude? How can we be grateful, Bo, in the face of serious adversity?
Well, I would probably go back to that gratitude is we have reason to be grateful. All the time. It's just really a matter of where we turn, what we're looking for. So yes, it is a more challenging time. It's been a more challenging time on the campus community. And I just return back to that same idea of it's important to be real with where we are as individuals, as communities, as one community, and then to also draw back attention to if we just turn back and looked at it, we could always be grateful for something. A lot of it is unconscious. I think that my heart is beating right now, and I'm not telling it to. It's just doing that. I breathe without me intending to do that. It just happens. So that there is always, no matter what, if we turn back to it, there is room for that to grow within us.
Amy, is there anyone in your life that you draw inspiration from on how to be thankful, who you kind of model gratitude after?
Well, I'm going to go to a book again. You know,
great.
You asked me on because I'm a librarian.
That's what
so
we want, then.
That's what you're stuck with.
Love it.
I am really fond. I feel like I have a long, friendly conversation that is routinely renewed with Anne Lamott. She lives in California, and I live in Vermont. And what do we have in common? Not that much. But I can't wait for her next book to come out because I know she's going to be talking about this election. And in the book that I've been thinking about recently, Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith, she was reacting to the election of George W. Bush and fearing everything that was going to happen and wondering what to do. And she called her pastor, who said, well, I can give you some direction here. Take a step, first the right step, then the left, then the right step, now breathe. Those are the directions. And her books are about, you know, struggling with these things that we struggle with. What's happening in North Dakota or what took place in the election and somehow finding the strength to take those steps forward. Very inspiring to me.
That's fabulous.
And a good sense of humor, too. I love that about her writing. It always makes me laugh.
I love it. Let's take another call. Teresa's calling us from Burlington. Hi, Teresa. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for this wonderful conversation. I just kind of wanted to call in and share my perspective and what I'm thankful for. I'm lucky enough in my late 20s to be able to travel, and I think it has given me such great perspective on the world. Me and my husband have recently gone to Africa, and then just this past week came back from Cuba. And I think when you see how other people live in the world, and obviously growing up you always hear, oh, you know, eat your food because they're starving children, you know, those sort of funny tales. But when you really see it for yourself and you come home, it's almost like you're numb. And it's just, you know, being an older sister, I've really tried to convey gratitude to my younger siblings who haven't yet seen these experiences and just letting them know that we should be, you know, extremely thankful to live in a country where we have the opportunity to prosper and be able to communicate political views because, you know, in the rest of the world, it is not so, and it is very humbling. So just I'm very thankful to be able to see that.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Teresa. I'm going to ask all three of you this question. From your experiences, how grateful are Vermonters? Let me start with you, Amy.
I would say pretty grateful. I mean, maybe it's working in a place that has close ties and a great deal of affection from the community. But I often hear in the library, this place is so beautiful. You know, thank you for the computers. Thank you for buying the new books. Thank you for the programs that make my children so happy. That's what I hear on a daily basis, and I love it.
Robert?
I think Vermonters are very grateful. I can't classify myself as a Vermonter, having only lived in Vermont for 15 years, but I think that, especially with my kids, I think my wife and I work very hard to make sure that they don't take anything for granted because Vermont is such a beautiful place. I think back to my oldest child who, when I was driving her to school one day, she said to me when she was in about first grade, she said, Dad, what kind of farm did you go to school on? She went to school on a farm. And I said, oh, let me tell you about where I went to school because it didn't look anything like this. So I think there's lots of reasons to be grateful.
And Bo, how about you?
Well, I'm even less of a Vermonter. I've only been here 2.5 years. But in my short time here, my experience has certainly been that Vermonters seem very, very grateful, at least in what I've experienced on Middlebury campus, in the surrounding communities. It strikes me there's a great deal of receptivity to drawing attention to gratitude.
That's
going to be very receptive.
Fantastic. That's Bo Skurich. She's a Muslim chaplain at Middlebury College. We also had Amy Hallett, director of the Springfield Town Library, and Dr. Robert McCauley, medical director of clinical ethics and a palliative medicine physician at the University of Vermont Medical Center. Thank you all, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
And want to let you know that you can tune in tomorrow on VPR, Thanksgiving evening at 7, for The Science of Gratitude from American Public Media. And then Vermont Edition will take the next couple of days off, but we'll be back here on Monday. We'll talk about all the wonderful winter diversions that Vermonters take part in. You can email your favorite outdoor activities to vermontedition@vpr.net and join us Monday at noon. I'm Rick Singeri. Many, many thanks for listening today. Have a great Thanksgiving.